Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the EFL Fantasy Podcast. My name is Angus.
And my name is Dan.
And we're here joining you after the Game Week 37 action. I would say to review the action. We'll review some of it, I'm sure, in between sort of the Game Week 37 double and ahead of Game Week 38. A rare Saturday deadline for Game Week 38. Which is nicer for me. Some people, I'm sure, will be annoyed that there's no Friday night game. Makes my life easier, so I'm all for it. But first things first, Dan, how are you?
If you'd have asked me about an hour and a half ago or whenever it was, I'd have been a lot better. I've just probably seen one of the best games, entertaining games for a neutral. It was a nightmare. Like I said, it should have ended at a half time.
Yeah, to timestamp it, it is 13 minutes past 10 on Wednesday night. It also means for those who are watching the video, there will be video back this week. If I'm caught looking off to the side, it's because I'm currently also watching the extra time of Atletico Madrid Inter Milan, so that sort of explains it just with the time stamping though. In this pod we'll sort of talk about some of the talking points from the game week, but in the sort of, we're not doing the key points, just the sort of bits from the games, and answer your questions that you've sent us. So get this turned around relatively quickly. So I'll go first on the teams because I did worse this week and I can get it out the way. So I got 91 minus 8, so 83 points net, not helped by the fact that almost literally every player that could have hurt me returned. a small red arrow. I'm 150th now. I'm trying to remember what I did with my minus 8. I bought Sargent, Sara, and Engel. So that worked, although I captained Josh Sargent, and that looked like it was going to be great, and then he went off early. Engel vice-captain, which obviously worked quite nice, lost out to Ayling, that I know a lot of people had, but I was still quite pleased with that. Ended up with no goalkeeper, because Pears missed out, and Connor Hazard lost his spot to Cooper. I also bought Lindsay from Preston. I forgot because I rolled the transfer. It was a 4 transfer minus 8. So bought Lindsay from Preston ahead of playing Stoke. Home game against Stoke. I was like, defender, home game against Stoke. Love that. They managed to concede twice and he only got 3. Engel vice captain for 25. Davis 3. Somerville 3. Azaz 2, Dewsbury Hall 2, Sara 21, Rutter 9, Sargent 12 as captain, and Kiefer Moore 11. And for those who listened to the last pod, the streak of Somerville and Dewsbury Hall not returning continues. I'm sure some people will be debating whether they're brave enough to sell one of them, but that's probably a conversation for later. So not a great week, a few sort of nice bits in there. The flip side is I'm relatively happy with the way my team is set up. I've got various thoughts about what I'm going to do ahead of the weekend, but it will also depend on Pears news because I'd rather not have to make a goalkeeper move. But otherwise, yeah, bit of a mixed bag in the end. Dan, how was your game week?
Yeah, so I had a better game week. I scored 114. I rolled a transfer, so I got 2 coming out. I'd been building the Middlesbrough players. I captain Sargent for 12. Vice captain Aylin for 36. I had Dieng in goal for 11. Furlong 4, Davis 3, Somerville 3, Azaz 2, Sara 21, Dewsbury Hall 2, Rutter 9, and Moore 11. I think I got about Green Arrow up to 106, which was about 30 place Green Arrow, so I'm quite happy with that. And as I mentioned, I've got two free transfers coming out of it, so I can attack to the upside. And obviously we got a few teams blanking as well this game week, so it helps me navigate that a bit better. So yeah, overall pretty decent week in Gaffer.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's those little differences we were talking about, still how much potential there was to swing. I think before the Birmingham Middlesbrough game, we were separated by about 30 places, and we were separated by, I think, less than 20 points. So it shows at the
Yeah.
moment like it can still swing quite significantly. But yeah, so sort of slightly different game weeks there, but we'll sort of move on and go over some of our sort of key, I guess, notes from the game week or things we wanted to mention. So I'm gonna sort of kick off with one that I wanted to mention, which was the decisions in the Hull Leicester game. I feel like I haven't sort of, complained that much about a referee in a while. So I'll start with the Hull penalty for a foul that was outside the penalty area. He was pushed outside the area. He like goes down into the penalty area, and the referee decides it's a penalty, and then like that's terrible. The Leicester penalty was soft, but probably a penalty. The first goal was from an error. Seri also should have been sent off. There was a clear one where Leicester went to take a free kick. I think he was already on a booking. Leicester went to take a free kick. He was less than 10 yards away, stuck his leg out, stopped it being like knocked it away, and the referee decided not to card him. Which, I know we see sort of a lot of second yellows sort of bottled by officials, but when something is that blatant, you sort of expect it to be given. And I thought Jamie Vardy could have had another penalty late on as well. So it's just one of those things, particularly in such a big game, where I was quite surprised sort of watching it back and like, how many of the big decisions you sort of look at the referee and sort of like, are you sure? And it would have been a bit of a mixed bag. Obviously, the whole penalty was sort of missed by Carvalho. Jamie Vardy decided to give some grief back to the family stand at Hull. Apparently, according to him, he was getting a lot of grief out of the family stand. So, that's I guess the trade-off there. But yeah, I think it's a shame as well in such a big game that's an impactful game that you come out of it and your main takeaway is the referee. But I felt I needed to acknowledge it because it jumped out to me.
One on Leicester. The last couple of games, Vardy has started up front. He's got to play out front, hasn't he? He's
I
got to play
think
out front
so.
now.
While he's sort of on a run, like obviously Daka did well, but I think Vardy, when he's on a roll, it's like, yeah, okay, let's sort of, go with this. And then you've got the options to change it up.
Yeah. Like obviously they're in the FA Cup this weekend, you'd think he'd probably get rested for that. And then they've just got to manage his minutes. But if he gets a chance, he only needs one chance. They need to just score, win games, and they need to put the best striker up front now, and that's Vardy, I think.
I think so at the moment. And then, like I say, when it sort of runs out, either he gets hurt or whatever, then you have good options to change it up. Anything from the games particularly sort of jump out to you?
I thought it was professional performance for Leeds. Could have been a tricky game against Sheffield United, but they just done the job. Goals from Bamford and Nonto, assists from Firpo. They still look good, Leeds. I'll be amazed if Leeds don't finish top two. I don't know what you're thinking, Angus.
I'm still pushing my Southampton will end up in the top two agenda.
Maybe Leeds and Southampton at the end of
Maybe.
the day. I also watched the I know I've jumped forward a bit, but the Huddersfield West
Yeah.
Brom game. I thought Huddersfield were good first half, but I don't Corbrand changed a few things and Mikey Johnson, what was that stat he had? Because
I
he's
think it
now
was he's had six shots on target since joining and six goals, and then the
that's
streak
not
ended.
anymore now. Yeah, it was like the Undertaker streak, wasn't it?
Yeah.
At one point,
Yeah, I was gutted.
but yeah, I think that was the first time I'd probably watched him. I might have seen him come on as a sub appearance, but yeah, he looks good. Makes me wonder why Celtic got rid of him. But you'll probably know more about that
I think
than
this might
me.
be the best run of his career, which is probably part of the reason why.
So this is going to be, they're going to sign him, and then he's going to do nothing next year, isn't he? Yeah. Yeah, I just thought very good for West Brom. It's looking like they're going to get fifth, I think. Great goal by Ucashlu.
Yeah.
It's what you know, one of the ones where you watch him when you make a sound when it goes in. Well, I
Yeah.
don't know what sound I made, but it was like, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
Because as
It's
soon as he hit it, it
yeah.
looked like it was in.
And it's one of those where it's just sort of like, particularly when it's rolled back to someone, like I know Johnston didn't deliberately roll it back to him. And you see them coming onto it and you get that sort of moment of almost like excitement or anticipation where it's like this could be a banger. But even then, when a player does it, it's still sort of that extra moment of like surprise. But yeah, I thought they did very well. I think, you know, from a gaffer point of view, there's obviously options throughout. People will be looking at Johnstone. I still like Dean Garner actually. I think he's sort of been going under the radar.
Fair
We've
on.
talked about Fellows. We've talked about Johnstone. I think Dean Garner has actually been playing really well for a little while. Like particularly if you take it back to pre AFCON as well. I think he's actually been playing well for a little while.
Just a bit, what they're so strong up front, though. That's the worry. I've got Furlong, I'm happy to keep him. Yeah, look who came off the bench from Fellows, Swift and Thomas Asane. That's in a 3-game week, that's just got pain written all over it, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we thought Fellows was finally sort of nailed in the team. He'd started however many games in a row. Then he drops out the lineup. It's just like, what do we know?
Yeah, but yeah, I'm definitely impressed by West Brom. Should be make the playoffs, and I tell you, I'm not sure many teams want to play West Brom over two legs with a Corbrand as manager.
Yeah, no, that it's not sort of, you know, it's one of those just sort of frustrating teams. If I mean, it was their first win of the season after going behind, and maybe that's still the key against them. If you can get in front of them,
Yeah.
they can struggle.
I think the worry will be is they're probably going to have the home leg first, so they're good
Yeah.
at home. And if they lead the tie, could be tricky. But yeah, gaffer wise, West Brom are definitely going to be a team we focus on for the remainder of the season, I think, or until they're guaranteed playoffs anyway.
Yeah. Another game that, speaking of games we watched, another game that I wanted to talk about. I really enjoyed Cardiff Ipswich. I thought Cardiff were actually really good in this game. They were the better side to sort of start the game. They started well. They started on the front foot. Carl and Grant looked bright. David Turnbull looked bright. He had a good effort that Kladke saved, and he Kladke did well. He actually had to adjust to some late swerve and got it away from the goal. Bowler had an effort tipped out that Perry and G managed to like just get his shin on, which was then cleared off the line. And yeah, they still felt like the slightly better team throughout, and then Ipswich obviously took the lead, but a mad finish. I think I tweeted out after What was it, 94 minutes? It was 1-0 to Ipswich. After 100 minutes, it was 2-1 to Cardiff. Proper, like the second one, particular proper get it in the mixer stuff. Just put it into an area. I mean, it was a corner, but just put it into an area and a bit of a scramble. And G sort of hooked it towards goal, and there was O'Dowda to finish it after Wintle had got the first. And I don't think like anyone can argue it was unjustified. You look at most of the stats, and Cardiff either were comfortably better or edged them. And so I do think it was one of those games. So I wouldn't necessarily be too concerned from an Ipswich point of view. I think Cardiff, particularly defensively, have been very tough for teams recently. And so while it's obviously not a great result for them, I think it's one of those where it's like it can happen. And so I think it's also a case of making sure not to sort of overreact to a bad result. Which obviously they were winning until sort of, you know, the 95th minute or whatever as well. Well, after taking the lead. But really impressed by Cardiff. Perry and G returns again. I was looking into defenders a little bit earlier, and in terms of last four form, he's second only to Luke Ayling, who obviously just had a massive double game week. And he just keeps ticking along. You know, you also have sort of solid. I mean, we mentioned Furlong. He was matched by both Cardiff centre backs over the last four, because they're just ticking along and getting like they're not getting that much bonus, but they're just getting so many half clean sheets in there that they just keep picking up points. And I thought they did a good job in that game. As I say, Ipswich wouldn't overreact to it. Kiefer Moore, he still felt like the most likely player, or like for them all game. And I think, you know, it really crystallised for me. Like he's the sort of the main one. I'm reluctant to sell him because every time I think, oh, you know, is he really going to sort of return that much, and there are games where it's like he won't be involved because of the way sort of he plays, the way they play. But there are games where it's just like, oh yeah, you know, he's the main man up top for one of the teams that is still one of the better performing teams in the league. So I think he's still an option for them. But yeah, I'd be wary of overreacting to that game though, because I was actually quite impressed by Cardiff.
Yeah, it's a couple of fixtures that Ipswich will probably want to win. Home to Sheffield Wednesday and then away to Blackburn. And then they've got a fairly tricky run until the end of the season. So it's you have to think they're going to have to get 6 points from the next two, I think.
Yeah. Couple of quick points I wanted to touch on. I'm not gonna sort of go through them too long. From the Southampton Sunderland game, I wanted to touch on two moments for Joe Bellingham. He scores an unbelievable goal. It's a great finish, but his contribution to the first goal might be the worst defensive header I've ever seen. Actually, no, the second worst. The Ryan Andrews own goal happened like last week. But I don't know how he manages to head it, like create a more dangerous situation with a defensive header. Obviously a big win for Southampton, but I just thought it was quite funny, the two sort of dramatically different moments for Bellingham there. And the other one for me was just to mention, I'm not going to focus on the Norwich side of this. I'm going to focus on the Rotherham side of this. It's going so badly for them. And, you know, we've talked about sort of targeting them, and when we've been talking about the relegation sort of battle and everything, we haven't talked about Rotherham for ages. We've just written them off, and they are really struggling at the moment. You know, 5-0 against Coventry, 5-0 against Norwich. You know, they play a few of the teams down the bottom now, and they'll be looking at it as we need to win that game. And like most of them will be looking at it saying we should win that game. And so yeah, obviously, you know, the likes of Sara went big this week, Stacey. But I think that the real thing is like they are one of the few teams in the league at the moment where it's just like, yeah, I want players against them.
Yeah, are you worried though about a home and away thing? Because we know they've been really bad away from home for a couple of seasons, really. But at home, they can put out the old performance.
Not at the moment for me. I've seen sort of enough of their sort of defending almost in the last couple of games where I'm just like, I want a piece of that wherever they're playing. Anything else from the game week, really?
Not really. Stoke won, didn't they? You sort of mentioned that.
Oh,
Not
Valerian
sure
Ishmael
how
got
Gaff.
sacked.
Yeah, but that's not news, is it? That's
Um,
expectation at this point.
yeah, um, and and there have been sort of reports a little, a number of weeks ago that he was about to be sacked, which turned out to be nonsense, surprisingly, given that they were coming from, the likes of Talksport. Yeah, he's been sacked now. Yet again, it's sort of what are Watford doing? Nobody knows. Like, what are they trying to do? Nobody knows. They now put Tom Cleverley in temporary charge, who was a player less than 12 months ago. You're not going to be sort of buying any Watford in Gaffer, are you? So
No.
don't need really need to sort of think about it that way.
What made me laugh was I went to bed early. I think it was announced late. It might not even be that late, but I went to bed early. I was waking up to watch the UFC at like 2:30 in the morning or something. And I woke up and obviously he'd been sacked. So yeah, it wasn't a shock, but it's one of them. Oh, they've sacked their manager. Yeah, like I
Yeah.
don't even know what is it. They're mid-table. Cleverley will probably pick a few results up, and then they'll have the dilemma about whether to give him the full-time position. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said there are, I think it's now like three teams that aren't with that aren't 6 points away from the relegation zone or the playoffs, and that's Sunderland, Bristol City, and Watford. And it very much feels like they're in a sort of no man's land now.
Yeah, I agree.
Also a special mention for after the second after the Tuesday night game, Mark Venus basically saying that the problem is Birmingham's players aren't very good.
I watched them and I didn't even think Middlesbrough looked like a mid-table side,
Yeah, but the
and they
three
comfortably beat
wins now
Birmingham.
since the change of system.
Yeah. I mean,
And
what I will say is
Desazz
it's
Des for
working well
some
for
reason
him.
benched for all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if Borough made the playoffs, but I wouldn't be surprised if Birmingham went down. I know it's obviously the Mowbray's ill, so there's nothing they can do about it, but it's definitely not ideal. He's just come in, and then he's obviously having a couple of months off to hopefully recover. And yeah, it's just going from bad to worse for Birmingham really at the minute. And like I said, from what I saw, that they could easily get relegated. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised now.
Yeah, and Venus doesn't seem to be handling it well. Comments like that. There's a little bit of chopping and changing. I thought it was strange that Bakuna didn't start the game. We've had recent sort of games on the bench for players like Miyoshi as well. It's a little bit strange there at the moment, I think.
I'm going to throw this out at Angus. Warnock. It's the
No,
only thing that
because I
might
think.
save him.
I think there is a thought that, or a hope that Mowbray won't be out for that much longer, or won't be away for
Yeah.
that much longer. So I think, you know, that would obviously be the hope, particularly with the sort of international break coming after this
Yeah.
weekend. Not sort of, you know, wanting to say, oh, you know, he needs to sort of, you know, hurry up and get better. It's just the sort of, I think the hope is that he might
Yeah.
sort of be able to come back and help them out a little bit. Though we are getting into the Warnock window, particularly as he's just left
Yeah.
Aberdeen. But yeah, I think it continues to be interesting down the bottom. But yeah, so that's sort of everything. Obviously, we've touched on quite a bit of the action, and we'll now come on to your questions. And the first one is from FPL Frog, and there is four questions as part of this, but they're all about one player, and it's Gabriel Sara. And he says, when will Gabriel Sara leave Norwich, be capped for Brazil, win the Puskás Award, win the Ballon d'Or?
He's going to leave in the summer, isn't he?
I'm gonna say, I was about to say, I'm gonna say the answer to all four is 2024.
He could get capped by Brazil.
It wouldn't
I
surprise
wouldn't
me.
rule them out.
It genuinely wouldn't. You see some weird players get capped by them.
Who? Someone random, I couldn't believe, got called up the other day for Brazil. He's a good player, but you wouldn't associate him good enough for Brazil. That's going to do my head
Was it
in.
the Andreas Pereira call up?
He's nowhere near good enough for Brazil, is
Like,
he? Let's be
and like you
honest.
say, he's done well over the past sort of couple of seasons for Fulham in the Premier League, but you sort of look at him and it's just sort of like, really? The Brazil squad? Like, but yeah, I'm going to say 2024 for all of them.
Fair enough.
Sorry, I'm slightly distracted because I've just had three penalties in a row saved in the Atletico Madrid Inter shootout. FPL Commander said, always good get good info listening to the pod, gents. And a first question for you for a while now. I have 2.4 in the bank with this squad. Is it sensible to roll or take out Azaz, who has been a complete disappointment for weeks, to be replaced by Sara or any better suggestions? Azaz has to go.
Yeah, he does,
Like,
yeah.
he's been benched for, I think, three in a row now. I'm not sure why, which almost adds to the idea for me of being of selling him. Like,
It might be the formation.
yeah, although judging by people who've watched more of them, it's sort of a 3-4-2-1 rather than 3-4-1-2 with Fors and McGree playing in support of Latelaf, which you think would suit Azaz even more, but he's not getting in. So it seems like either way, it's not necessarily tactical and it sort of came out of nowhere, which to me just, you know, is big red flag. And I'm sort of like, just get rid. The way Gabriel Sara is playing at the moment, it's he if you can get him, he feels like an obvious one at the moment.
Yeah, I agree.
Along with, you know, Sorba Thomas, who happens to be playing Rotherham this week. Or Jack Redoni. I've actually been really impressed by Jack Redoni recently.
Yeah, but I know what's going to happen in that game. Rotherham are going to win 1-0.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, you have to mention whoever's playing Rotherham in any given week at this point. I feel
Yeah.
bad, but it's the way it is at the moment. But Sara, I think at the moment, is playing so well that it's hard to argue against him. Non-stop FPL. What has Azaz done to deserve this Borough treatment? I'm very happy he remained on my bench this game week. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it is just having someone like Fors who can turn it into a front two without sort of changing the personnel,
Yeah.
where it can go either way. That could well be part of it. But yeah, he's certainly a sell at this point. the Bombardier said, "Hi guys, with the new information about rearranged dates for doubles, we didn't mention that. which is the best week and players for triple triple? Also, well done to Dan on his current FPL rank. Thanks." We don't talk about FPL here. Yes, obviously the doubles. You've got the Southampton Preston in 43, and Leicester Southampton and Coventry Hull have gone into 44. So I think, unless you just wanted to do probably a Southampton triple triple in 43, you're probably looking at 44 as the best week now, particularly because you've got Southampton, Leicester and Hull and Coventry all with doubles that week with decent options. I'm not sure we need to tell you much in terms of players, and it's also probably not helpful at this point with it being, you know, a month away in terms of, like, so much can change in that time. But it's probably when you've got players from those teams, it's just sort of like, it probably sort of gives you better cover for your options. Whereas, like I say, 43, you're probably going big on Southampton. And if you're comfortable doing that, then great. But it feels a little bit higher risk, I guess, for not necessarily the higher reward. Alexander Chow, what is the third best boost to play in the future, having already played triple triple and away days, and in which game week?
I'm not sure that. Do you think there's a particular answer for this?
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Not Goalfest.
I'm going back round to maybe like Park the Bus.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably go Park the Bus.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's viable. Performance enhancement seems one to me that is one of those that you only really want to be playing in a double. So I think if you're going to be playing that, it feels like you probably only want to play in 44 when you've got the greater opportunity for it, in terms of the number of players. Otherwise, you know, you've got your Park the Bus. Maybe at a certain point you overhaul, if you've got a problem, particularly with some of these boosts, not necessarily feeling as sort of, you know, positive. But I think, you know, Park the Bus is sort of becoming an option again. But also that, like, it really does depend as well how you're set up when it comes to the weeks themselves. I mean, you know, there's the international break now. Three players might get injured and it completely changes what you want to do. AD Tor, do you expect Johnston to carry on his form? No. Not just because, like I say, he's having the best run of his career, but, like, in, you know, it was a really fun stat that he was scoring every shot on target he had, but it's the definition of unsustainable as well. So I think it would be tough to carry on that form. But what do you think about him as an asset, generally speaking, going forward?
Yeah, I think he's definitely an option. He seems like he's going to have to play. He's playing too well to get dropped. He's 6'5", 6'6".
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely a nice price. It puts him around like Philogene and Azaz. So yeah, I don't hate it. Just looking quickly at the fixtures: home to Bristol City, away to Millwall, Watford, Stoke. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely a West Brom player going forward could be a good option, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those where you're going to have to stomach the odd sort of game on the bench, the odd sort of 60-minute sub. But, like you say, with those fixtures, it feels worth it. Eric Nesonstad said, moderate success, Casey Palmer dead to me, away days, hoping for something big in the game today. I think that was on Tuesday. With the new doubles and new perspective, when to play triple-triple. But I think we've kind of covered, you're looking at the two doubles and it depends how you want to cover them. Petri Annanen said, is Dewsbury Hall a sell with Johnston and Sara in serious form, considering also Leicester form versus West Brom and Norwich?
I'm not going to get rid of G. I've got things I'm going to do over Dewsbury Hall, but he's not returning, is he? So. But you're gonna have to know the risk if you take
Yeah.
him out.
Yeah, that feels like the thing. You're gonna, it's gonna be ballsy to sell it, but it could pay off with some of these other players.
Yeah.
Because I think there are gonna be quite a few people, totally understandably, who are just like, I'm not selling Dewsbury Hall. And so it's that risk reward thing, like you say. I think that's the key of knowing what you're potentially selling as well.
Yeah.
We've got two questions from Erica Malone. One is, I'm thinking of bringing in Nonto, but worried about game time considering James. Would you rather go for someone like Johnston or Sara? And then she also says, also, would you recommend away days in game week 44 with the doubles? Yeah, I think just on the away days thing, I think absolutely. Any sort of away games added, I think just adds to the appeal of away days. We've seen what some people have done with things like Borough players coming into this game week where you wouldn't necessarily have
Yeah.
expected a great deal from them and you've suddenly got big returns. So I think it just shows that it adds to the appeal. In terms of Nonto, thoughts on buying him?
Yeah. I would say it looks like his first choice there now, don't you think, Angus?
I
But
think
in a
so.
free game week, he's going to get rotated, I think.
Yeah, and sort of Dan James feels like he's having moments off the bench, and it sort of appears, it depends to me almost how Farker views that. Does he view it as actually the best thing to do is start Nonto and then have the option of James off the bench, or does he sort of think James has done so well he deserves to start a game? I think personally it'll be the former. I think he'll stick with Nonto for the moment and have the option of James off the bench, particularly against sort of, tiring defenses and everything. But yeah, I think he's probably going to stay in the team now. But him versus Johnston or Sara, thoughts on that as well?
Sara for me.
Yeah, I think at the moment it's, he's playing so well. I think it was his second goal the weekend that sort of finished right into the top corner. He's
Yeah,
playing
great
so well
finish.
at the moment. I think it's got to be him. But yeah, that feels the obvious one at the moment. But yeah, so that's everything. That's all the questions. Thank you to everyone who sent us a question in. We will be recording. We'll probably just get the pod out of the way on Sunday after the games, won't we?
I assume so, yeah.
Well,
I've lost
we'll
track of
work this
days,
out.
Angus.
We'll let you know when we're going to be next recording. I know we sort of promised a Q&A with Jamie over the international break returning, but I haven't spoken to him about that yet. So if I haven't raised it with him by the time he listens to this pod, you're on notice, Jamie. But yeah. So obviously we've got this weekend's action and then it's the international break, which will be a nice little break, I'm sure. But yeah, so all that's left for me to say is thank you for listening and goodbye.
Bye.